Okay, Erev Tov Rabotai. So, Nu Zman, tonight is the first Hashkafa Vad of the Zman. As Josh likes it, we like to start off with a monologue. There's a lot going on. Again, I don't religiously follow the news, but you'd have to be like completely, you'd have to not be living in Olam Hazeh not to see what's going on college campuses. At this point, it's not only in America, it's in Europe, it's all over the world. Now, last Zman, we spoke a lot about anti-Semitism, but and it's very interesting that these protests and encampments and violent clashes and all of these things that have been happening on college campuses, they happened more or less, interestingly, around Pesach time. It's like a little bit before, during, after, but that's the major thing. And what's also very interesting is that we thought perhaps that maybe it was something that was dedicated to democratic states, you know, to blue states, to New York and Chicago and whatever. But it's Baruch Haba, Didi. How are you? Manishma? Baruch Haba. Nice to see you. Anyway, but that's not the case. It's happening in red states also. So there's really no rhyme or reason for what's going on. It's very scary, and I spoke about this thing with a Rebbe of mine. The scariest part about it is, even though it's true that there are certain politicians who are speaking about it, right? The president, kind of wishy-washy, kind of soft on it, members of Congress and stuff like that taking a stand. But the scariest part of all of it is that, you know, the leaders, quote-unquote, of tomorrow, the professionals, the politicians, the presidents and the senators and the whatever, those are all the inhabitants, the students of those colleges today. So it's a very scary thought to think that the world... Shalom. What's your name? Where are you from? Baruch Haba. Nice to meet you too. You do what? Khan. Kohen? Anyway. So, in good company. The I like to have a pasuk ready for everything. Anyway. So it's kind of a scary thought when you think about what's going on in the world. But on the other hand, it's also, and I'll tell you, I just went away for Pesach. Anti-Semitism is not something that is, I guess, specific to college campuses. Wherever you go, airports, you know, shopping, whatever it is, it's overt, it's more than overt, it's there, it's happening, and people are becoming less and less and less ashamed about it, you know. But on the other hand, it's pretty comforting, because historically HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put us into these pickles to remind us she'en lanu al mi li'ishein ela al avinu she'bashamayim. Sometimes, you know, when the government is too nice to us and everything's too peachy creamy, v'ram levavecha v'shachachta et Adonai Elohecha ki hu anoten lecha koach la'asot chayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, why are you forgetting me? Hashem makes the world go round. It's not the politicians, and it's not the economy, and it's not the people. You know, historically, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this is how Germany went down. This is Germany of the 1930s. There's a lot of striking similarities. You know, the Jewish influence in German culture and economy and government and everything, and then slowly scaling back. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes history repeat itself. That's the way it works. And it's reassuring, because Hashem's pushing us against the wall, and we have nobody, you can't rely on anybody anymore. Can't rely on the government. You can't rely on anybody to protect you. The police, sometimes they enforce, sometimes they don't enforce. You know, it's pretty selective. And, you know, especially Europe's toast. Europe, you know what I'm saying? They tell Jews, don't walk here because you're going to agitate. You know what I'm saying? It's over. Europe is toast. Nigmar. And America's on the way. You know, unfortunately, it looks like that. But Hashem's reminding us, don't... Al tivtechu bin divim bin adam she'enu teshua, because as there's another pasuk, even though teshuah, salvation, doesn't come from people. There's a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, Yisrael nosha badunai teshuat olamim. Am Yisrael seeks their salvation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only place it comes from. And we tend to only remember that when we're kind of with our backs against the wall and realize that nobody's coming to our rescue. Only then is when we realize that Hashem is really there for us. So these things, even though Baruch Hashem were zocheh to be in an environment, can you imagine Baruch Hashem, one of the only normal thing, you know, enrollment both here in YU and other Jewish schools has skyrocketed since all these things have happened, because Jewish students in these other colleges are jumping ship because they, pshuto kemashma'o, they're not safe. They're physically and emotionally and religiously unsafe in their campuses, but it's a way to remind that, you know, you can't run away. Sometimes when we mix, sometimes when we, you know, in Yiddish there's a word called mishing. When you mish too much with the other, you know, with the goyim, and you're in academia and whatever, and then they start reminding you that you're Jewish and whatever, and go back to Poland and get gassed and you know, they say that. They say that right to your face. That reminds you that we're not one of them. That reminds us, like we say in Havdalah, Mavdil ben Kodesh lechol uven or lechoshech uven Yisrael la'amim. There's always this Havdalah that Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a very powerful vart. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, alav shalom, used to say that when Am Yisrael makes Havdalah on the Goyim make Kiddush on us. When Am Yisrael makes Kiddush on the Goyim, they make Havdalah on us. It's a major vart. Mazak Kiddush, oh wow, psh, Goyim, you know, academics, we'll be together, as a together, and they start pushing you away. Something's got to give. We won't both make Kiddush on each other. It doesn't work like that. Historically, look at history, it doesn't work like that. So it's a little scary, but it's also reassuring, because we know that when nobody else does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our collective backs, individually, nationally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there to have our backs. So it's something not to, it's concerning, but Hashem is there. And you know something? Who knows? If this is the beginning of the end, and this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly but surely pushes us out of Galut, out of America, and pushes us all back to Eretz Yisrael and Kanfin Sharim, okay, take it. You look throughout the Navi and you look throughout Shas, the Tkufa prior to the coming of Mashiach is not going to be a pretty one. But just like the, you know, you look throughout both Tanakh and Shas, we call the Tkufa before Mashiach Chevle Mashiach, birth pains. You know, when a woman is in active labor, until the baby comes out, there's a lot of pain, a lot of contractions, screaming. I don't know if you ever been to a, you know, labor and delivery in a hospital. It's a noisy place. You know, there's screaming and cursing sometimes. Mafrid, you know what I'm saying? As an outsider, it's scary. But then there's a moment that everything stops and you just hear the baby's cry. And then lemafrea, everyone's like, oh, now it's worth it. Now everything calms down. That's what Mashiach is. That's how it goes. You just have to be prepared. Don't be too rooted. Do what you have to do. Avodat Hashem, Torah, Mitzvot, Ma'asim Tovim. Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, Gemara says, Ma ya'aseh adam yinatzel mechevle Mashiach. What can a person do? What's the magic formula to protect yourself from the lunacy and the horrific things that are going to happen by Chevle Mashiach? Gemara says very simple. Ya'asok b'Torah u'v'gmilut chasadim. Torah, gmilut chasadim, you're good. That's all there is. Do what you got to do. When the time comes, we're out of here. That's it. Don't be too vested. The Chafetz Chaim used to have a suitcase. He didn't want to ever buy furniture. He had like a rickety table and some chairs and whatever. He had a Mashiach suit and a suitcase right by the door because he was ready to go. Huh? Yeah? Mashiach suit. I have one. Yeah. Be ready to go. Don't be heavy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, don't be heavy. Don't be attached. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've seen in Shas. There's atitz naku ve'atitz she'eno naku. Yeah? Be an atitz she'eno naku. Don't be so connected. Okay, say that. We're Americans. And therefore what? there's going to come a time where Hashem is going to kick us out of here and go back home. Remember that. Lo lefachid. Lo lefachid. Leitchazik. It's a big thing. Okay, I'll open up the floor for some questions. Chabot, it's been a long bin azmanim. I want to hear some good ones. Good.
Is it better to listen to, let's say, Israeli rap or to listen to non-Jewish music that isn't rap? That's whether it's house music, EDM, some with words, some without. What's the, I guess, in maybe your eyes, the lesser of two evils?
So let me speak about it like this. Sometimes in Judaism, we don't always believe necessarily in the lesser of the two evils because they're both evil. Meaning, if there's two things that are asur, let's say a guy comes and says, I'm not saying that this is what you're asking, but a guy says, well, I have a choice. It's either I'm going to watch TV or go clubbing. Yeah? You give me a tir to... No, you don't have an tir to watch TV, but like, what am I supposed to... You have what I'm saying? No, it's not... Whatever, you do what you have to do, but like, no. So, Israeli rap. So, are we talking about Nissim Black kind of Israel? So, you know, so like, what are we talking? We're talking about like bad words?
Basically, rap that you don't understand what the words mean.
Yeah. I mean, understand half of it. There's definitely some bad words in there.
It's a problem with a lot of these. I want to tell you, I've spoken about this before. Israeli music is very, very dangerous. And I'll explain to you why. People think if it's in Hebrew, it can do no harm. Right? Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Al tiyeh hamor. Yeah. No, seriously. You know, even in Hebrew, you know what they're singing about? Bar Minan. And even sometimes these singers, they're very tricky. They're tricky, tricky singers, these guys. Yeah. One second they're putting on this like this kippah, like awkwardly on the back of their head, Shema Yisraeling, you know what I'm saying? And then the next sentence, they're singing about girls. You know what I'm talking about? Their Shema Yisrael is not the Hechsher for singing about the girls. You have what I'm saying? And it's a little bit more confusing because it's Hebrew. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You have to be very, very careful. Hebrew rap, if it's bad words, there's no Hetir to listen. It's Metamtim Tan Neshama. Goyish music is not much better. If you're telling me it's classical music or music that's not, you know, they're not saying bad words. I don't know of any music that they're not saying bad words, Goyish music that they're not saying either, you know, either coarse language, bad language, or speaking about vulgar things like arayot and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know of any that, maybe country music, but even country probably talks about girls too, I'm assuming. So,
and
huh?
And trucks.
And trucks? Okay.
And trucks.
Okay. Whatever. So, Baruch Hashem, there's no lack of Jewish music, all kinds, Ashkenazi and Sephardi and a cappella and instrumental, and there's a lot out there. What, you got to just find your niche in Jewish music. Look, Hashem, we live in a, listening to music post Beit HaMikdash, I have a shir about that, is not pashut to begin with. But naniach, that recorded music is okay, and especially the Tzoch Mitzah, it uplifts you. We're a generation that's very contingent on music. We grew up on music. You need it. Everybody needs it. Choose wisely, because music is the key to the neshama. It can warp your soul if you're listening to the wrong one. Not
sure. Can we listen to the Shema Yisrael songs of these people that sing the other types of songs?
So there's actually a tshuva from Rav Moshe about this specific topic. He doesn't mention him by name, but Rav Moshe was asked whether or not it's permissible to listen to music by Rav Shlomo Karlbach. At the time, there were certain allegations about the behavior, well, not allegations, certain behaviors of Rav Shlomo Karlbach that Gdolei Yisrael did not find appropriate, and especially the crowds and stuff like that. And the question, but by and large, his music was all Kodesh, right? There was no, his music was always about Psukim and Tfilot, whatever. So the Shaila was listening to Kodesh music from a person who may be not the best, is that Mitamtim Tan Neshama? And Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva that it doesn't. He says if the music, if the person had smatterings of Avodah Zarah, it'd be different. Or if the music had anything wrong with it, it would be different. But if the music is fine and the person only had some issues of arayot that were, you know, I'm talking about smatterings, whatever was going on over there, Rav Moshe says it's mutar to listen to that music. So as long as the music, for instance, a lot of these Israeli singers, they have, you know, slichot discs or, you know, stuff like that. They still sing for mixed crowds and they still sing about pritzos, but they have, you know, their Shema Yisrael songs and, you know, Am Yisrael Chai and all these chevrolach, you know what I'm saying? Kadosh Baruch Hu yachzirem b'tshuva shlema b'zat Hashem. Skinim. They don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Ari.
So ever since October 7th, everyone around me has always felt like the pain, the situation, you know, even 6,000 miles away, everything going on, the army, the war, the people who lost jobs, who didn't have fathers that weren't in households. But despite all of this, you know, I don't really have social media. I don't really check the news too much. Most of what I hear is the word of the mouth. But it's come at somewhat of a cost. I find myself very removed from the situation. I'll go even a few days sometimes not even really thinking about it. And I wonder if there should be, you know, I want to feel, you know, whatever pain I'm used to, I was going through, I want to feel it too. I don't want to be so far removed from it. But at the same time, I don't want to involve myself in unhealthy habits, things that you know, put people down a rabbit hole. And I want to know, how can I, like, stay connected to the situation, but while also doing it so in a healthy manner, in a way that I can empathize with Am Yisrael?
It's a good question. So let me start. Social media, obviously, there's no question that social media is a killer. Now, putting social media aside, even news, just following news, whether it's radio or newspaper or whatever other outlet that you have, news is also not healthy. Because even if you're, you know, you're up to date on every, you know, anything that happens, you have it in real time, whatever, you're not changing the situation, and not necessarily does it make you any more sympathetic or empathetic to the situation. It just makes you bogged down. Sometimes you're just bogged down, and we all know there's a situation happening. For a person to know about the news once in a while, if you have a kosher newspaper or a kosher outlet that you want to check, you know, once or twice a week just to keep current, if you have a Yated or Hamodia or, you know, I'm not giving Ashgacha to Yeshiva world, but I'm just saying there's a lot of Lashon Hara over there. You have to be very careful. I'm going to say that very openly. You have to be very, I don't care what they call it, you have to be very careful. There are articles that are pure Lashon Hara on Yeshiva world. I don't care what the name of the website is. Be very, very careful. Okay? I'm not going to say more about that. But you have to choose your articles carefully. Therefore, yeah, the way to keep current and the way to keep sympathetic and empathetic to the situation is through tefillah. In your tefillah, to connect all of the times that we speak about Achinu B'nai Yisrael, the Pirkei Teilim, the Limudim, all of those things should be directed, should be funneled towards Atzlachat Am Yisrael. That's the one way that's healthy, meaning you're still having it on your mind, and you're not bogging yourself down because it's in the context of Avodat Hashem. Knowing the news never really, practically, I mean, there's things that you have to know, but I'm saying, like, following the news so religiously, lemay nafkamina, you know what I'm saying? There's no...
Should there be, like you're saying, that you don't want to get bogged down, of course, yeah, lead a person to, you know, to not to terrible things, but should there, even beyond what you're trying to do, a positive situation, should you feel some negative pain? Should you feel somewhat bogged down? Just because you shouldn't have...
Survived. Absolutely.
My life is going, yeah, and I'm learning, I'm dedicating my time to... But even beyond that, to really feel something, to have when we fast, you know, we have times when we mourn, we have no cigar now. But should we have that same idea?
If you feel that periodically looking at the news will elicit that raw emotion that's necessary to connect to the plight of Achinu B'nai Yisrael, I say that. But once in a blue, curtail it. Yeah, who else wanted to ask? Chavod. Is it Eliyahu Shelanu? Now I know from the haircut. Okay, good.
Is it a problem to say lashon hara about a tzibor that breaks Shabbat b'farisya? Do we call them tinok shnei shvaz or like?
That's a very, very loaded shaila. I'll tell you, the Chafetz Chaim speaks about it. In Chafetz Chaim, he says that the laws of lashon hara do not apply to a person who's not shomer Torah mitzvot. Because it's b'osim ma'aseh amecha. a person, especially if a person's mechalel Shabbat, that's dinok egoi. But as you're very, very well aware, you know, the poskim, Barosh uvarishona, Maran zechonu lebracha, speak very much about chilul Shabbat bizmanenu, not chas v'shalom to condone it, but saying that it comes from a different place than it did back in the day, and it comes from a lack of knowledge. And for that tzibur, especially if it's a tzibur that's being mitchazek and is shomer other parts of the Torah as well, shomer kashrut and shomer, you know, to a certain extent tarat hamishpacha and things like that, and they struggle as a community with shmirat Shabbat, la halacha you would have to stay away from saying lashon hara. Yeah. You have to, especially they're not vindictive about their chilul Shabbat. They're not doing it from a place of, they don't chop, you know what I'm saying? Especially they come to Bet Knesset, they're miskinim. No, they don't understand, they weren't brought up. Good.
How does music work? Some people say you can listen to it in the gym if you're working out, if it helps you concentrate while you're driving, helps wake you up, whatever. I had to hear him go around. Is there anything?
So during the Omer and during the 3 weeks when music is asur, Rav Belsky Alav HaShalom had a heter. He would be matir listening to even instrumental music in the context of a workout, because, you know, it's in order to be productive when you're working. I didn't hear that heter about studying, but if you really, the person needs it really to focus, I would assume it's the same heter. I would point out, Rav Belsky passed away almost 10 years ago. There wasn't that much, there was, but not like today, where there's like a ton of a cappella vocal options. There's so much a cappella on the market. So if you can handle that, matovu manaim. If you can't handle that and you really need, you know, for instance, I do exercise, I listen to a cappella. I would, some people I would tell them, listen to shiur when you're working out. Some people can't do that. So listen to a cappella. If you can't do that and you really, it's messing up your workout and you're gaining weight and it's after Pesach and you gotta get off the Pesach weight, you know. I hear. If you need to study, it's coming finals week. When's finals week? Study week. Already? Maze. Shem yishmor mamash. Anyway, bekitzer, and you need to focus and you need to zeh. Okay, shamati. I would say, If a cappella or even classical is better than regular songs, whatever. Usually, sometimes psychologically, people, classical music has a way of calming the mind and being able, if you need that, just a little bit able to be, to focus, beseder. If you can handle with a cappella, matov manaim. Yeah. Driving,
would it be the same or no?
Unless you're like severely unfocused when you're driving, you're like a hazard, you know, like on, you probably shouldn't be on the road, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead, one more short one.
Is a cappella by itself, like some listen to music during the year.
Yeah.
Is a cappella during the 3 weeks, like during Sfira on the 3 weeks, same thing that we could just listen to it stam, or is it still only if we need it?
There's a machloket aposkim whether or not a person, a cappella is allowed to be listened to, la halacha it's mutar, because it's not instruments. Even though they have sounds and beats and whatever, it's recreated human noises, artificial noises, so me kara din it's okay. Lana tov.